Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Saggles Club Podcast.
Season 2. Sorry.
Yes. No, it's fine. My name is Zoe. My pronouns are she, her, hers.
My name is Gwen, and my pronouns are also she, her, hers.
It's season 2, but also, like, just blame it on my mom. She did not hold me like DJ Khaled and say, you're going to be a mogul. And we've been doing renovation in my house for all the weeks that we haven't been able to record. But finally, I can continue being the mogul that I always need to.
You're Assad right now.
I mean,
we're on Assad's level.
I love him.
I love Assad so much. He's my new favorite baby right now, besides Beyonce's
fetuses. Right, I'm like, I stand for a child. For a 3-month-old.
Yes. Well, here's the thing, because I'm really in the mood of, like, liking boy babies right now, which is so out of character for me as a feminist. But, like, I love Saint. I love Assad.
Oh, man, I love Saint. Like,
and I'm thinking, could Beyonce be having, like, twins of different genders?
I don't know. She's wearing a lot of green, and so the beehive is speculating.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something to speculate.
But is green a color? Like, isn't it pink and blue? Like, what is green?
Yeah, well, she's probably just being like, honestly, like, I'm tired of these old, like, gendered colors that for some reason, yeah, like, even though pink used to be the boys' baby,
Okay, we need to stop. Okay, so yeah, that was not our intro. If you do recall, we will be talking about what we've been listening to, reading, watching, how Legacy of Colonization has been affecting us for the past, well, it's been a full month, but whatever. Mm-hmm. You want to start?
Yeah. So I didn't write this down, and I normally do, so if I stutter or say more likes than usual, that's why. So for reading, what have I – oh, okay. I've been reading Sarah Ahmed's new book, Living a Feminist Life, and I kind of, like, stopped reading it for a while because things actually sped up at work, and I would normally read it on my lunch break. But, yeah, that's pretty good. We highly recommend. We're thinking about doing a feminist book club and not sure how many people would participate. So if you'd like to see that, then obviously tweet at us at Sad Girls Podcast. What else have I've been watching The Americans. So I don't remember what the last show I was watching before, because I think I definitely did a transitional show before doing The Americans. But I got a free month of Amazon Prime, so I was like, might as well start watching The Americans. And then I started paying for Amazon Prime because I just think I'm
rich. You pay
rich.
For it?
Yeah.
Why don't you well, do a
I pay
student
for
thing?
All those things. Well, because I don't have a don't you have to be in I do have a .edu.
But my sister is a student and we have a
actually, I could talk to my brother about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, I might do that because I do. Well, right now I'm doing monthly, which is $8.99. But But then it ends up being more expensive than paying, like, the, like, $80 or whatever a year. But definitely I should talk to him. So I started watching The Americans, and it's so good, you guys. Like, honestly, one of the best shows I've ever seen. And I say that about every single show I watch, but, like, this one especially is so good. I'm a Kara Russell stan. Like, I live for the Carries, like, her, Kerry Washington. Like, I'm all about a Kerry. And she's, like, amazing. And her range is actually – I feel like she's a very underrated actress because I saw her on Felicity. I saw her in Austin Land.
Oh, wait.
Like,
I watched Waitress. Range. That's,
oh,
like, all
she's on there. Yeah. She's the pro tag.
Yeah.
I don't know if you loved her, but, like, I think she has a very good range, and I'm, like, so here for her. I just feel like she's, like, she's, you know, I'm skeptical of white women, and we're going to be talking about them further in the pod, but I, Kara Russell has a face you can trust, which I'm not sure is a good or a bad thing, to me, at least. Can't speak for all other POs, for sure, but she's really good. Her boyfriend, Matthew Rhys, is the main guy. He's also really good. And it's just basically it's about KGB spies living in America, like, right after Reagan was elected. So Reagan's the president. Like, they're like, fuck Reagan. We're Russian. We, like, are infiltrating the U.S., and I've been learning a lot about Russia, if we're being honest. Like, I feel like we've talked in the past about how specifically I don't know if you also share this, Zuri, but like I don't know anything about that country besides it being a white tundra.
White Russians and that movie Anastasia. It's my whole
knowledge.
The True movie my favorite things.
It's like, so it turns out I'm a Russian connoisseur.
Right.
but yeah. But it's really good. I'm learning a lot. Like it's really pulling at my heartstrings for sure. So if you want to just get enthralled in a show, definitely I recommend The Americans. And then I've been listening to the American soundtrack, honestly. It's a pretty good soundtrack, definitely. And then what I've been listening to some other stuff, but I can't remember. Oh, I don't know how to pronounce his name. Jidan.
Jidenna? I think, I feel like I've said Jidenna, but I don't know if I've heard anyone.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone speak it, but I started listening to his new album because I really liked Yoga and Classic Man. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, like I'm gonna listen to it. And I really like this song called, like, it's called like Helicopter or something, and Bambi. I haven't listened to the rest of the album. I just lied. I've only been listening to these two songs, but I really like them. And then I think that's about it. Like, I haven't really been listening to any. Oh, well, podcasts for sure. Please Advise. Mm-hmm. You guys, like, Please Advise is the best podcast I've ever listened to besides this one. Like, It's just, it's everything I need. If you can't afford therapy, give Please Advise a listen because it really will make you feel better. Malls, I feel like Malls is my spiritual guide, my BFF, like the person I aspire to be. Like, I take pretty much any and all life advice from Malls. So definitely check out her podcast. I listen to all the apps and there's like 120. So now I'm listening to Mother May Sleep With Podcast, which is her Lifetime one, which I listened to an app before, but now I'm going through all of that and listening to it. So definitely recommend Malls in general. She's hilarious. Like, I just love Malls. And then I think that's it besides my legacy of colonization. And that has been tough because I feel like I get these little bits and moments where I'm like, okay, yes, like,
I have that's so my legacy many of colonization. Things, but I'll just right. do one. Because what if I don't have one next week? I'm just
yeah.
Like, oh,
that's
them
so
up.
True. Just like stock
so
them
many.
Up. Yeah. No, that's really true. But I was thinking, because I have a sticky note at my job that's like colonization, and like I write down because I get these like emotions at work, and I'm like, okay, that's a colonization moment. But then like I don't have it right in front of me, so I forget what I wrote. But I was thinking. I guess this one happened most recently, and I know it directly relates to colonization, but I'm going to have to try to find the language while I speak to know how to say it, or else we're going to be paused for about 3 minutes. So, like, I haven't been drinking super a ton, because in college, obviously, like, binge drinking was the hobby, but now I haven't really been drinking a lot, but the past couple of weekends, I've been going out, like, pretty hardcore. And drinking, and you know, if you're like just out and about and you drink and then you eat like a ton of food at like once you're drunk, cause you're like, okay, I'm starving and now I want to eat everything. I don't know if everyone else experiences this emotion, but I definitely do. So it's like a binge drink, binge eat situation. And the other day I went out to brunch, boozy brunch moment, went out. It was like, it turned into Sunday fun day. And then I was just like drinking galore, and then like I ate like a pretty substantial dinner situation, even though like you probably shouldn't like eat that much on a heavy drinking stomach, but I did. And then like I threw up, swear to God, like all the food. I don't, sorry, trigger warning for people who don't like to talk about puke, sorry, but I threw up like pretty much everything I'd eaten that day, and I felt like happy about that. And to me, like I've struggled with eating in the past, like eating disorder light, because I don't ever want to like be like, this is what I had, because I guess like all the this is like, I guess just kind of known, but like obviously like the eating disorders, the kind of people with eating disorders you see like in a public forum are like really skinny white girls who everyone is trying to help because they look that thin. But like if you have struggled with eating in the past and you just like you lose enough weight to where like, I mean, you're skinnier, but like you're not like super thin, then people are like, okay, like, yay.
Oh, like, my God. I have something about this too. Wait. Okay. I was going to save it, but maybe I'll say it after yours.
Okay. But yeah, people are like, especially if, because probably like when I was younger, I like was up to a size 20, which like is not like super big by any means. There are people a lot bigger than me, but like that's like plus, that's like pretty much, that's like plus size. And I like went on these like 500 calorie day diets, like all throughout like middle and high school. And to the point where I am now, where I'm like an 8'10", which is pretty small compared to the rest of, you know, the United States. And like, I still struggle. That's something that like started when I was like age 10, because it was really young. Like I grew up like constantly being monitored about my weight and like sexualized at a very young age because I was like chubbier. And that was just like something that is still, I thought I was over it, but then like me imagining, like, or me just feeling so much joy at the fact that I wasn't eating that, like, I wasn't digesting that food. To me, I was like, okay, like, what the hell? Like, I thought I was over it. I'm not. Like, why am I still struggling with this when I thought that I was, like, all about, like, loving myself, like, loving my body, like, knowing that these structures have been out to get me. Like, still, like, knowing the scholarship and reading this stuff and, like, knowing in my mind that I don't have to worry about this kind of or I shouldn't worry, but still, like, my mind is worrying about it. It's, like, irrational. I don't know why I'm still thinking like this, but it was something that, to me, just struck a chord because I hadn't, like, I haven't been doing diets. Like, I'm a vegan, but, like, I still, like, that doesn't. I don't know why I even, maybe like I became vegan because of this, you know? So that's just been something on my mind, like, honestly, for a while. Well, since it happened, it was like a week ago, so not super long time ago. But when that happened, I was like, should I talk about this on Sad Girls? I don't know. Like, it's definitely, it pertains to colonization because it's, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's a lot of dialogue on, obviously, women of color's bodies. Right. And then there's, like, a specific one on, like, Mexican-American women's bodies or, like, Latina women or, like, you know, just, like, mm-hmm. the specifics of the women of color, like, you know, mm-hmm. all of us. So, I don't, that's just something I've been thinking about. Like, also, like, I don't know why I didn't say trigger warning in front of all of this. Because, like, I know a lot of people struggle with this. But, yeah, that was just something I've been thinking about. And I haven't stopped thinking about since it happened. So, yeah.
Okay. Let me introduce myself. I did write it down. So, I'm actually also reading the Sarah Ahmed.
Wait, you didn't tell me that you started reading it.
I know. The thing is that, like, all of my books are in a box right now, so I bought on my Kindle. I'm, like, doing reading on my Kindle, which is just, like, it's cool because you can do, like, an instant highlight thing, but it's just hard. I don't even, it's, like it, in the beginning when you start a chapter, it does this little thing at the bottom. It's, like, learning your reading speed, and it's, like, I think for one, it was, like, 17 minutes left in reading this chapter, and then once it learned my reading speed, it was, like, an hour and a half left in this chapter. Like, for me, it's just, like, so hard to read on that thing.
Yeah.
And, like, Sarah Ahmed.
Is it the one that, like, looks like a book?
No, it's not.
It, like, looks digital?
It's, like, a little tablet. Like, you can do other things. It's not, like, one of the ones that's just for books.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's the size of a book, yeah. And so, yeah, I'm reading that. I stopped reading that because I'm reading a book for my book club, which is, like, a collection of short stories called Whatever Happened to Interracial Love by Kathleen Collins, which is, like, I don't really like it, to be honest. And then I'm reading, I finished reading Black Macho, which I was reading in, like, we were recording a few weeks ago, and it was, like, it was, I learned some things. It's, like, a book about, like, black feminism, but I was also, it was written in, like, 78, and I was, like, these things aren't true anymore, so it's, like, I don't know if this aged well. But it was not bad. And then I'm listening to, so right now I'm listening to, like, a Spotify playlist of all the songs that were on the HBO show Girls. And just, I think the show's in its, like, fifth, I think the playlist only goes up to the fifth season. Not the one that's on currently, but, like, obviously it's a TV show that has that many seasons, and, like, you could put 15 songs in an episode, so it, like, literally takes days to listen to. And, like, like, when I was watching Girls, like, in college, I would listen to the playlist, and, like, I found, like, favorite, like, I heard Lizzo for the first time on this, and, like, Generationals, and, like, a lot of other of my favorite, like, songs and albums. So I was just, I'm, like, I've been listening to that, like, over the past few days. So it's been taking me a while to, like, get through it. Mm-hmm. And then I've also been listening to, like, the In the Heights soundtrack, because it was just the anniversary of that. I was listening to Biggie, because it was the anniversary of his death. And I've been listening to Migos, Culture, which I'm, like, it's already March, and, like, I don't know, like, what albums came out besides Migos. And, like, a few weeks ago, Migos, like, said something about Maconian coming out as gay, and they were, like, how did he rap about being a drug dealer if he's gay? And everyone's like, okay, they're canceled. But I was like, Maconan is also technically canceled because, like, he said something stupid about Black Lives Matter movement. Maconan is like a murderer.
So
like,
does
he
that counter
accidentally
the cancel?
Murdered his friend. And so I feel like he's biased in his Black Lives Matter because, like, I don't know, like, no one rallied around. I'm like, what? He said something like a black on black crime sort of thing. So I'm like, they cancel each other out. Like, so I'm going to keep, I mean, Culture is, it's an amazing album. I love Makona. And then I've been watching, so I started watching Blackish. So I'm actually, like, all caught up now because it's been 3 weeks. It's so great. The kids are so cute. I especially love, like, the little son, Jack. Like, every scene he's in, I'm like, he's so cute. Like, it's such a good show. Like, I thought it would be, like, a kid show, but it's, like, an adult show, but, like, they have the family. And there's, like, so many things that are, like, just topical about, like, race and stuff in the past few years. Like, there's, like, the Black Lives Matter episode, the election episode, like, black people, how they feel about, like, queer people, how black people feel about religion, like, all that sort of thing. Like, every episode has something like that, but I love it. So that's, like, I'm watching that. Of course, I'm watching Scandal and How to End It. Yes. And those are just so extra.
Well, I need to catch up
so
on Scandal.
Good. Last episode, two episodes are really good. They were crazy.
Well, I was obsessed.
Yeah. It's good again. And then I'm watching The Great British Baking Show. I tweeted that it's my antidepressant, and, like, they put some new seasons on Netflix, and they're just so good. I love that show. And I'm also, like, a Jehovah's Witness for that show in the same way I am for Friday Night Lights. I'm like, has anyone seen this show? Like, do you want to talk about it? Like, I'm telling everyone to watch it. Love it. And then I'm watching, like, Love and Hip Hop. New York just ended, and now I'm watching Atlanta. This is the first time that I can watch it, like, with Black Twitter, like, in the whole time it's been on. I'm so happy to be a part of it. And so that's the media that I have been consuming. I was stacking up my colonization, but since you're talking about bodies, like, I could do mine as well. Just my preamble is that, like, I've just, like, always been thin, and, like, I understand, like, the privileges of that, for, like, the most important one being that, like, no matter, like, how I feel individually on my body, like, if I just go anywhere, like, I see, like, a thin body being affirmed as, like, the most, like, healthy and good and, like, deserving body. So, like, just to, like, say, like, I understand that, even though I'm about to, like, talk about this thing, is, like, the thing is, I work with, like, a lot of, like, I'm the youngest person at my job, and, like, a lot of the women there are moms. Mm-hmm. And so I'm getting this a lot from women at my job, although, like, maybe I've had it my whole life, is people being, like, oh, like, you're so thin, like, when I was 12, like, I was your size. I'm like, I don't want, that's not a compliment, like, I'm 23, I don't want the body of a 12-year-old. Or, like, if I'm eating, like, any snack, they would be like, oh, like, you're so lucky you can eat that, like, you're not gonna have this body forever, and, like, all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, for me, like, I'm, like, older, like, I'm a feminist, like, that stuff, like, isn't harmful to me, but it is annoying just to have, it's like, I'm just thin because of, like, genetics and metabolism. Like, I never, like, work out or any of that, so it's not like I'm doing anything to, like, maintain this thin body. Like, I don't feel like I should have any reason to, like, be proud of it. And to, like, some way, like, these are compliments. Some way these women are, like, sad that, like, now they, like, aren't thin anymore. But it's, like, just every, like, thing is, like, insidious and being, like, you're lucky, like, you have, like, a thin body yeah. now. Like, that's a good body. But also, like, you won't have it forever. So, like, cherish this. Or, like, you, or, like, just policing. Like, if I'm eating, like, chocolate or, like, something bad, being, like, you only get to eat that for now. Like, you, it's not, like, you can't be like that forever or you won't have, like, the thin body. And I feel like that's just, like, so problematic to, like, not see or, like, know any, like, women in your personal, my personal life who, like, have a good relationship to their body and, like, just, like, when they look in the mirror, they're like, wow, I look amazing. Like, I look great. And not having, like, oh, I'm so fat. Like, oh, I need to go to the gym. Like, whatever. Like, I feel like in my family, like, the women and, like, people have also been that way. So that's really getting on my nerves. But I'm also, like, it's, like, that's another, that's a privilege for, like, some people as well. Like, I understand that. So that's who we are.
I mean, it's also, like, it's always, like, this, like, literal, like, fear and hatred of fatness that it's always, like, okay, it's looming over you.
Right. It's
and
like,
I'm
I
like,
don't...
this is so fucked up.
It's just, like, it makes me, it just, I don't know. Like, it drives me crazy. I'm like, I'm not, like, proud that my body is thin. Like, that's, like, who cares? Like, I mean... and then I also feel like, as far as, like, women of color, like, I don't even know if, like, being thin, I don't know. I don't, it's like, in some ways, like, being thin is just, like, universally understood as, like, that's good, but then there's also, like, women of color, like, are, like, naturally just, like, more curvy or whatever, and I'm, like, this isn't, like, the standard of beauty in my community. Like, I want a fat ass. Like, I want one, and I don't have one.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know, like, why you're praising me. I'm, like, your body is better than mine. My co's are, like, you'll have a fat ass when you have kids. I'm, like, that's the only reason to have a kid that I've heard of.
Which also sounds fake, because it's, like, how will that naturally happen, you know? Because
your hips. Well, like...
what do you mean? Oh, yeah. Wait, your hips get bigger?
I feel like they, like, expand because you push the baby out of your vagina. Okay.
I guess, but, like, I already have, like, pretty good-sized hips, and my butt is still pretty flat.
Yeah, I mean... so
it's like...
it's like the more
I wish
that
I could have a por qué no los dos situation, but I don't.
No, I just have... I mean, I'm from a flatbed family.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's who we are. And we're glad to be back. And this week we're going to be doing two topics. And the first is the news is going to be about, like, healthcare, Trump, like, all the dumb stuff that's been happening. And then the second one is about Get Out and specifically, like, portrayal of white women in it and, like, white women in our own lives. So for the Trump thing, we have this article that it has, its proper title is In a Place of Need, an Unhealthy Contradiction, and it's by Jessica Contreras in the Washington Post, but, like, I don't know, like, the caption for it on Twitter and, like, everything was, I wrote it was the alt title, it's, They're poor, sick, and voted for Trump. What will happen to them without Obamacare? And, like,
I think they were just doing that for,
like, the clickbait title, yeah. And so, and this is, like, not the first article or, like, story like that. And so when I saw it, like, on my newsfeed, I was like, I don't know why I wanted to read the article. Like, what motivated me? Because, like, I'm really bored of all these, like, stories that are humanizing, like, the stupid white people who voted for Trump and, like, voted against their interests. Like, there's so much of this, like, people who are on or benefiting from Obamacare who voted for Trump. Like, this is not the first thing about that. And so, like, in a masochistic way, like, these things literally make me angry, so, like, I don't know why I read them, but then I'm also, like, truly trying to understand, like, these people, even though, like, it's not possible. Yeah. But the summary of the article is that, like, it's this town in West Virginia called North Folk. It's kind of a profile of the town and, like, the people in it. It's an old mining town, so, like, now that mining isn't really a thing anymore, like, so many, like, majority of people are, like, poor, sick, like, unemployed. They had high rates of, like, chronic diseases and, like, opioid addiction. And then, like, despite all of that, like, hella people voted for Trump. But I think, like, the reason why I did like it and wanted to read it is because it focused on, like, this young black nurse named Keisha Saunders. Yeah. And she, like, works at a clinic, and at the clinic where she works at, the Obamacare repeal will affect nearly every one of her patients because, like, a lot of them are on Medicaid. And in the new thing, the new Trump Care, like, they're really trying to curb that Medicaid expansion. And so, like, even though, like, for a lot of, you know, not poor, super sick people, like, that Obamacare made them, like, have to get private insurance or insurance from their job or whatever, in, like, these towns that where everyone is, like, sick and poor, they had Medicaid expansion, so, like, that's been a good, like, a positive thing for them.
Yeah.
So that's what it was about.
Well, I mean, it's the same old thing that we've, I guess, even touched on before of they thought that, like, Trump would be their big change, like, their Obama, essentially.
Right.
Because they thought that, oops, the reason why we're disenfranchised is because, like, people are coming in and stealing our jobs. It's like, first of all, no one's a coal miner anymore, Bob. Like, that's not happening anymore. Right. That just died out. And, like, it was sad to me to read these accounts of them and them being so delusional.
Right.
About what would happen when Trump came into office. Which, first of all, like, sorry, I'm still bringing it back to how was Trump's rhetoric enough to get these people to be like, sounds like a good plan?
It's like, I don't clearly remember a single because thing like he was a white man. It just doesn't make any
and
sense.
And he was racist.
And
yeah,
that's the only, like, reason they didn't like Obamacare, because a black person did it. Like, yeah, if Trump had repackaged Obamacare, which he wouldn't because, like, he only wants health care for the rich, yeah, they'd love it. It's like, you are right, all benefiting from it. I don't, like, what yeah the fuck?
Yeah, or even, like, because I think the article said that a lot of those people only got Medicare when the Affordable Care Act, like,
right, exactly,
happened. So it's like, before they were, what, uninsured? And then they got it. Where do they think it came from? Like, seriously, where? And then they were thinking, or I also remember when they were like, oh, but we thought, like, once we got, like, our coal mining jobs back, like,
right,
there was just going to be private insurance.
A lot of them voted for him. And it's like, even in the article, like, there were some folks who were still doing coal mining, but it was like, that's not coming back, like, in mass. Like, those jobs are not coming back. I mean, I'm not saying everyone needs to, like, be a coder and, like, learn Java, yeah, but these, like, jobs are not coming back in yeah huge numbers. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well,
get used to it.
But also, like, I feel like industry is changing so much that, like, where the money is something like Snapchat.
Yeah, it's like, you know, all these people need to make Snapchat. Like,
which is, like, impossible. Skills. But, like, you know, like, just, like, people, like, selling Snapchat for however many millions they sold it for. Like, that's, like, that would be unthinkable in back in the day, you know. But that's, like, what's making, like, huge amounts of money right now besides, like, rich people stealing from the poor. Like, it's, like, Silicon Valley and Trump, I feel.
Meanwhile, the thing about coal is that, like, that's so bad for your body. Like, one of the first yeah people, he had, like, been out of coal, like, his coal job for years. And, like, he had all these diseases that were a direct result of it. And it's,
oh
like,
God,
you're just trying to work until you're literally too sick to even work another job. Like, you're yeah begging for that to come back. Mm-hmm. Some of the other reasons why people, like, voted for him or that they just literally don't understand, like, the act and, like, what the benefits of it are. And, like, the fact that the benefits will, like, take time to exist. Like, one person was, like, she, like, pays a lot right now, but, like, there's something in the ACA that makes those costs go down. She was, like, fuck Obama. And then, like, even so many people, like, don't even know that the ACA is Obamacare. They're like, oh, I yeah love the Affordable Care Act, and, like, I hate Obamacare. It's like,
yeah, wait, did you see that video about it too?
Yeah, I'm like,
it was
one
like
of those,
which do you prefer
shows?
They're like, I would have to say the Affordable Care Act.
It was
like,
so,
what do you mean you would have to
so
say
insane
the exact
like, I was like, how are these people so dumb? But it's also like, they're literal, like, senators and representatives in their communities, like, do lie to them to make them, like, not want it. So yeah, that's sad. And then the last reason was because this is, like, a direct quote from one guy. He was like, he didn't like that working people have to pay for people who sit around and do nothing. And, like, I don't know. I feel like that's also just like such like an American sentiment. Meanwhile, I was thinking like 100%. A lot of people like are probably like very religious and like helping others is like a key part of like every, like I'm not religious and like I'm still like, yes, I want to pay for, I will pay for health insurance. I will help other people. And then even in their own communities, like I was thinking like there are people who will like, especially in these communities, will like live and die poor, live and die sick, people who will never, like, never work. And it's like, in even in your town, especially in this town where like so many people are, have chronic diseases, like you don't even want to help your fucking neighbors. Like that is so weird to me. Like you're saying, like I was feeling something. I don't know if I was feeling bad. I was like empathetic, but I was also like I don't want these people to die. But like, it's like there are people in their communities who literally like voted for that to happen, and like that's the reality. Like people will die. Even the dumb title, like they voted for Trump. What will happen to them? It's like they're gonna die.
Well, it's like also even a form of like, I read it as a form of like eugenics. Like poor people are gonna die.
And like people with disabilities, it's like,
yeah.
This idea that's that like everyone so needs scary. To work in order to like have healthcare, it's just like, that's just not realistic. Like, get serious.
Right. And even when we think about, sorry to cut, what were you saying?
I just saw like another, like a tweet from someone that was like, why don't they just get jobs and get like employer-based healthcare? And it's like
first of all, not all jobs offer healthcare.
And then even at my job, like no one is on the healthcare. They're all like, it's too expensive. I'd rather have like whatever, Medicare. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Like no one's even on it.
Yeah. No, it's like pretty expensive, especially like
if you have like a family and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was just thinking because.
I'm like, why aren't you all on this? And they're like, it's $900.
Yeah, that's true. Because, like my dad pays, like, a hefty sum to have, like, me and my siblings on it. He doesn't pay for my mom's because it's too expensive for him to add my mom onto it. So she just gets her employer health care. But, like, it would add, like, $300 or $400 just to add her.
Right.
And he's like, can't afford that.
And you're already not even making that much in your draw. It's, like, to have so much taken out.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. And a lot of people, especially if they don't have like a illness at the moment, they're going to think like, okay, like why do I even need this right now?
Yeah, one
which
of my
is, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, it's a perfectly, I feel like, normal mindset to live under, because why would you be thinking about preventative if you have to pay for the things that you need to pay for right now?
Right.
Which you shouldn't even, like that's an impossible decision to put onto people, but that's the reality that most of us in the U.S. live under.
And it's, like, so fucking expensive to, like, do any sort of healthcare thing. Like, I'm, young and healthy, and I have my employer, employer health insurance, and I've been to the doctor just, like, for basic checkups. But I also, like, I went to the ER in the past year, and, like, I didn't get the bill. Like, it totally covered it. But I was, like, looking at my insurance online, and it was $1,100. Oh, and I just sat in the ER for, like, 10 hours, and they were just, like, oh, like, you're dehydrated, or, like, your blood sugar was low. God. And that's $1,100. And, like, if you don't have health insurance and, like, anything happens to you, like, you cannot do. You just, like, that's why sick people just die. And, like, I wasn't even... Like, if I didn't have health insurance, I wouldn't be going to a doctor because I can't get an $1,100 bill. Like, that's not...
That's a ridiculous amount of money.
I'll do some, like, WebMD. And, like, prescriptions are so expensive, it's like...
Well, even thinking about... Someone tweeted this one time, which it was so true, but the fact that people are more afraid of getting into car wrecks, they're more afraid of, like, paying for... Wait, am I going on the right tangent? But they're more afraid of, like, the bill than actually hurting themselves.
Yeah. Oh,
like, man. That's where we are. Like, the state of America, if you're not rich, is you're more afraid of the bill than actually dying. Which is so, like, it's so scary. It's even, like, a Breaking Bad moment. Like, he started making and dealing crystal meth because he couldn't afford his cancer payments. I'm sorry, what? That's insane.
Yeah, no, it's gonna get so much worse. Like, even just the initial things about Trump care that are coming out, it's like, this is gonna be so fucking bad. Like, yeah. I was listening to the radio this morning on, like, WNYC, and I don't know who was talking about the Trump care, but it was, like, a politician or, like, a representative. Like, it was not just a random person or a professor or anything. And, like, at one point he was, like, he said, like, yeah, 15 million people will definitely lose insurance. And, like, in the same breath, God. He said something, like, I can't remember the exact sentence, but it was, like, so hyperbolic. It was, like, he said something like, nothing bad will happen to anyone. And the host was, like, or the interviewer was, like, wait, so you just said 15 million people will lose health insurance and nothing bad will happen for anyone. Like, how does that make sense? And the guy's, like, well, 15 million more will join. And it's, like, I was just listening to it, and I was just, like, people are gonna literally, like, fucking die. Like, you just don't care. Like, they're disposable. Like, 15 million people? And then, like, I really doubt that 15 million more will even join. I don't understand, like, tax cuts and, like, all these things. But, like, defunding Planned Parenthood, like, not having Medicaid expansion, like, that stuff is going to kill people. And it's, like, only rich people will be able to have health insurance. Like, I don't understand. Like, how this will pass and, like, how people will react to it. That's why reading this, it's, like, I understand that, like, not everyone is, like, going to be listening to NPR. Not everyone's going to be reading articles. Not everyone's going to be, like, so involved, like, in the, like, trying to understand politics. But it's, like, you know that you benefit from Medicaid. And you know that you didn't have it before. Because it said, like, the rate of people who had it doubled. And it's, like, you just... I don't know, like, you just saw that he was away, you saw that he was saying he'll bring back coal, and you were like, okay. And now they're literally, like, afraid, and they're crying, because they're gonna lose their healthcare. And it's like, well, you voted for that, so, like, I don't feel bad for you, but I was saying that, like, in general, like, I want to read more things about, like, not white people, because there's just been so much of, like, these profiles and think pieces about white people and, like, the white working class and, like,
and how it's gonna
let's try to
them.
Understand, like, Trump voters. Like, don't be mean to them. Like, empathize with them. And it's, like, I like this one because it talked about the black nurse and just, like, in general, like, there's black people and people of color in towns exactly like this. There's black people and people of color who, like, are also, like, sick, poor, unemployed, and they did not vote for Trump. And it's like, when are we gonna read about them? Like, they're also, like, these same things are gonna happen to them. Like, they're also gonna die. And it's just like, we're only supposed to empathize with, like, these white people. It's like, they voted for it. I'm not empathetic to them when there's, like, a black person in a town that's also filled with sick and poor people, and they're gonna lose their Medicaid too. Are we gonna ever read about them?
Right. Or also, even you brought up, which is exactly right, is all these New York Times and Washington Post articles about, like, trying to understand, like, the Trump voter psyche, when in reality that's most white people.
Right.
It's that's, like, the majority of white people. To try to understand that, that's called racism. That's called, like, they're racist. Like, there's no, like, I don't understand how much you have, like, to understand.
That's what I understand.
Yeah. They only care about themselves. They created a whole country where individualism is key. The American dream is super racist and, like, is there to help no one but the person that is trying to get up in the world. So it's like, I don't really understand how hard, like, I understood it as a little girl. Why can't y'all?
Right.
Unless y'all don't want to, which is probably more likely the case.
It's the same thing about, like, people of color, like, communities and politics being about, like, community and about, like, helping more people than themselves.
Yeah.
Like, this is just fucking selfish. It's like, how can you look at your, like, poor sick neighbor and be like, they should die? Like, they don't have a job, so they should die.
That's exactly
it's
the,
like,
thought that they have.
That is so ugly and, like, just so, like, white America.
It's sick. Yeah. It's disgusting.
But I was saying, like, they're just racist and, like, you just cannot rationalize racism. Like, even I see so much. I just see things, like, new things about Trump. Like, he goes to, like, Florida, Mar-a-Lago or something like that, like, every weekend. They're just like, he's doing work down there. It's like, they're like, Obama,
like,
went
to
Hawaii.
What the fuck works down there?
It's like, and then this, like, Melania living in, New York.
Ridiculous.
They're like, yeah, well, the little Trump has to finish high school in New York. And it's like, I thought y'all were, like, poor. Like, don't you want... It's expensive as fuck to protect Melania in New York City and for him to go to Florida every weekend and, like, shut down the whole city for him to, like, be safe. It's like, that shit, the numbers that you see on Like, that shit's so expensive. And it's like, if you're all poor, like, wouldn't you want the money to be redistributed to you?
Wouldn't you be resentful? Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, like they'll rationalize anything. I was listening to this podcast about, like, politics, and they were saying, like, we're just fucked because of that reason. Like, Trump supporters and Trump's base, like, anything that he says, even recently he's saying that Obama tapped his fucking phones, and they're like, yeah, I totally believe that. No fucking evidence. It's like, when you see shit like that, you're like, why do I even bother? Like, we're fucked for the next 4 years. And they were saying that, like, that plus the fact that Trump supporters, like, it's only been 40 days and it's, or like 40 or 50 days, and it's been like so much worse than I could have even imagined. But like, for them, they'll be like, well, let's see what happens. Like, let's see what happens after 3.5 years. Like, it'll take them much longer than like just like non-Trump supporters to turn on him, like, if they will. So I'm like, let's see what happens with this fucking, but even with the healthcare, I'm sure they'll be like, well, like, now it's like not good, but like, let's see what happens in 2 years. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, so much, like, just insane shit has happened in the past few months since he's been president. And Trump's base are still, like, right alongside with him, even though they're about to lose their health insurance and die. Like, everything he says is a lie. He's wasting their money and their, like, taxes. And they're like, well, let's see what happens.
I mean, they're stans. There's no other way to describe them. That's
so true. Oh, my God.
Like, they're, like, Gaga stans, pretty much.
They're, like, Nicki Minaj stans. They're, like, she's clearly not the queen of rap, but they're standing so hard.
Yeah. It's, like, the same excuses that people use when they're trying to, like, back up their favorite artists. That's pretty much what Trump supporters do.
That's so true. But, yeah, this is, like, our next topic is kind of along the same path because it's still about, like, white people ruining things for everyone. And it is about Get Out, which I haven't seen, probably won't see. So I put that, you could do the little summary, but also talk about, like, your impression and your experience in the theater, because I see a lot of people talking about, like, you know, the theater interaction, especially in, like, big theaters of
I wish I had a more interactive time because... So I went at a really late showing. It was like 11 p.m. And it was a weekend it came out. And I went to like a really big theater. It was one of those theaters with the reclining chairs. Some man had the audacity to take off his shoes. He was wearing flip-flops. God. I was pissed. Like, that I was just
a hate crime.
It was a full hate crime. Like, I'm still thinking about his nasty toes. Because I have like a vendetta against nasty toes on men. Like, that's just a full
never want to see a man's toes.
Yeah. It's they, like, should never see the light of day. That's like, that's just a full no. Like, I don't even care if this is a gendered slur. That's a full no. I don't want it. Body shaming. It's full body shaming, okay? I admit to it. But I'm not looking forward to seeing your toes, men. I'm just not. Like, that's disgusting. Or, like, you guys can go get pedicures.
Exactly.
Like, you guys expect women to go do it.
You need to take care of them. Well, I don't even want to rationalize that because I just don't want to see them. They're so... It's like, they're not cute, like girls' toes, so...
Yeah. Well, that, like... that's the kind, and he was alone. Like, that was the kind of vibes that I was getting from my theater. Like, I went with my friend and one of his Twitter friends, so it was like us three. There was like a couple. I would say most of the people in the theater were Black, and it was like me, that guy that took off his feet, and like there was a white like high school couple, and we're like the only non-Black people in the theater. And there was some gasping, some like OMGs, but there wasn't like a really interactive experience, which like then I went back on Twitter and people were like messaging me about it, or I saw people's tweets and I was like, okay, I'm full gel that like people weren't screaming at the theater and clapping. Like, I retweeted a tweet that was like when Rose, who's Marnie, was looking up like after they captured Chris, top NCAA like prospects, someone tweeted like this woman in their theater yelled, girl, you're not that cute, and I was like, I'm obsessed because if someone yelled that in my theater, yeah, I would be
so much
I'd fun. Be doing the college snap, the like poetry snap, like, yes, because oh it's God. Like Barney, like, are you kidding me? Like, you think you would just go up to, like, a rising... Well, I don't know what the NCAA is, if we're being honest. Yeah. I don't know if it's, like, pre-NBA. It seemed like basketball players, right?
I don't know NCAA.
March Madness.
It doesn't have any sort of, like, sport letter in it. Just college athletic something association.
Oh, it's a collegiate. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't
National know Collegiate sport. Athletic Association.
It's a sport. Wait, yeah. Gwen, can you tell us, like, what the movie's about?
Okay, so basically, like, if y'all watch the trailer, you know what the film's about. It's a couple, Chris and Marnie. I'm just going to call her Marnie because, like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to disrespect her. Chris and Marnie are going to go upstate to, like, upstate New York to visit Marnie's family. Chris is nervous about it because she's like, you're the first black I've ever dated. Chris is like, do they know I'm black? Marnie's like, should I tell them? Chris is like, yeah. Like I'm just going to go up to your white upstate New York family, like, as a black man, and this is the first black man you've ever dated, and they probably expect a white guy. Like, tell them. So she's like, oh, my God, they would have voted for Obama a third term if they could. Like, you're totes good. So they get there, like, they hit a deer on the way, like, whatever. Well, I'm somehow summarizing the entire film, so I'm giving a brief synopsis.
I feel like everyone's seen it, so you can just do full spoilers.
Yeah, but, like, they get there, and, like, the family is creepy. Like, it's definitely a creepy sitch. They're, like, being, like, liberal whites. Like, the dad said the exact same thing Marnie said. He was like, yeah, I would have voted for Obama for a third term. And they're just, like, hanging out, like, doing, like, a cute brunch. And then they're like, yeah, we're having our big, like, party celebration. Like, every year we host a party around this time. Rose is like, I called her Rose, sorry. Marnie's like, oh, my God, like, don't tell me that's this weekend. They're like, yeah, Marnie. She's like, oh, my God, Chris, like, at least we'll have each other. And basically, but also at the same time that this is happening, so there are two people who work there. There's the groundskeeper, who's a black man, and, like, the cook, I guess she's, like, a housekeeper, a cook, who's a black woman, and it's Georgina, and I forget what the man's name is. And we also learn at this moment that the mom hypnotizes people. She's like the dad's like a brain surgeon or something, and the mom's like a psychiatrist. And Chris smokes, so she's like, oh, I can hypnotize you to stop doing that. He's like, no, I'm good, like, I'm not trying to do that. Also, while this is happening, Chris's friend keeps calling him, and he's like, Chris, like, these white people are crazy, like, they're giving me, like, serial killer vibes, like, you need to be on the lookout. Chris is like, no, like, I love Marnie, like, nothing bad's gonna happen, you're being paranoid. So then later that night, Marnie's mom hypnotizes Chris, and then she, I guess, just, like, was like, okay, now, like, sink into the ground. And he just happened to do it. But then she was like, okay, now you're in the sunken place. And in the sunken place, like, you can't, like, you can see stuff, but you can't, like, you don't have control over your body. So he, like, starts, like, freaking out, obviously. And then he wakes up. So he thinks it's a dream. He wakes up in his bed. He thinks it's a dream. Marnie's, like, brushing her teeth. He's like, hey, I think your mom hypnotized me. And she's like giggling. She's like, oh my God, are you serious? Like, oh my God, like, so embarrassing. Like, oh my God. Like, at this point, my friend James was like, why is she laughing about this? Like, why does she think it's a joke? You know, like, he was like, she's definitely in on it. So after that, then it's like that huge party. Like, all these people come over. It's like rich white people. Anyway, he's there. It's like all these white people. And then he sees this guy that he vaguely knows. Well, first of all, he sees another black man. So he's like, oh, my God, yes. He, like, goes up to him. And then when he looks at him in the face, he's like, okay, I think I know who this person is. And, like, Chris calls his friend and he's like, hey, like, do you remember this guy? He sends him a pic. And his friend's like, oh, my God, that's Andre. He went missing a month ago. Like, oh, my God, like, they're literally kidnapping y'all for, like, sex slavery. Chris is like, that's insane. He probably just looks like Andre. Like, I don't understand. Like, Chris is still, like, not taking his friend's worries seriously. So then, like, Chris and Marnie have, like, a deep talk. They're, like, out doing, like, a white person hike. And meanwhile, this is, like, so chilling. They're, like, having an auction over Chris. And this blind photographer, like, I guess votes to bids.
Right.
For Chris, so then it's like, okay, like, he gets Chris. This is happening while Marnie and Chris are off. Chris is like, I want to go home. Marnie's like, okay, fine, like, we'll go home together. They come back home, and he discovers, like, in, like, a cupboard in Marnie's room that she had pictures of, like, a whole bunch of different, like, black dudes, and then also a picture with Georgina, like, relationship selfies. And then he saw one with Georgina and one with Andre, and he's like, oh my god, like, she knew. Either she knew and she's in on this, or like, she's somehow being brainwashed too. I think that was like what he was leaning towards. So he's like, Marnie, let's go, where are the keys? Because they were already packed, ready to go. Marnie's like, I don't know, like, I can't find them. He's like, Marnie, like, find the keys, let's go. They go downstairs, like, his family's acting super sus, like, or Marnie's family's acting super sus. I forgot to say that she also has literally a disgusting brother. So it's, like, the brother and the parents, they're, like, being really suspicious. He's like, Marnie, where are the keys? She's, like, looking through her bag, like, oh, I can't find them. He's like, where are the keys? And then they, like, the brother knocks him out. So then the mom, like, does her little, like, hypnotic thing. He's, like, knocked out into the sunken place. And then they, like, drag him, like, downstairs. Because downstairs they have, like, a lobotomy basement. And turns out what they've been doing is they've been, like, removing brains from, like, the white people that wanted to, I guess, live forever. Like, they're at their deathbed. And then inserting them into the guys that Marnie brought in. Or the girls in Georgina's case. And so, like, whatever, that happens. Then Chris, like, escapes. The brother comes so the dad can perform the surgery. And then he knocks out the brother. And he, like, goes to kill the dad. He kills the mom. Brother comes back upstairs because he wasn't fully dead. He kills the brother. Meanwhile, Marnie is Googling NCAA, like, best picks, just chilling. And then she hears a noise, like, she hears the car go off, and she's like, okay, what the hell? So she goes out with a shotgun. And so then it's like Chris and Marnie, like, they're the last two people there, and they're like fighting it out, and he like manages to like overpower her, and he's like, he like tries to kill her, but like he can't, because she's like a sociopath. She's like, no, Chris, it's still me. Like, I love you. Like, la, la, la. And then you see a cop car, like, pull up. And she's like, officer, please help. And then turns out it's Chris's friend in the cop car because he's a TSA agent. So Chris's friend comes to save the day. He picks him up. Marnie is left there to die, and everyone in the family dies, and Chris and his friend, like, drive off, and the film ends.
Yeah, so that is what the movie is. I read the wiki summary a few weeks, I don't know, I guess it just came out, but I read it, because I was like, I want to know what happens, but, like, I don't want to see it. I don't like scary things. Yeah. And so that is it. And we have two, like, essays about white womanhood, specifically, in the film. And one is Get Out Perfectly Captures a Terrifying Truth About White Women by Kendra James. And The Most Terrifying Villain in Get Out is White Womanhood by Aisha Harris. And we will put all of them in the reading list. But, yeah, I put some, like, quotes and notes from each of them.
Yes.
So yeah, like you were saying, I mean, for people of color, like, watching it and seeing, like, some of the tropes and, like, some of the things that are, like, it's, like, total fiction, like, could never happen to white people. For people of color, like, yeah, I definitely recognize, like, that happening. And, like, the big one is, like, white women being super complicit in, like, racism and racist violence, uh-huh. But then, like, getting this weird, like, undeserved pass. And, yeah, I wrote that, like, I guess, I mean, I didn't see it, but, like, a lot of people were having the, like, is Rose, like, on his side? Like, is she, like, also, like, trying to kill him? Did you believe in her or no?
I believed in her at the beginning. I really did. Like, my friend James was like, no, she was in on it the entire time. So I'm like, maybe this is, like, maybe I'm too trusting. Like, I don't know, like, what that situation was. But, like, I was like, I, like, thought until I saw the pics, I was like, okay. But then if you go back to see, it's like, it makes perfect sense that, like, she was always in on it. Like, it fits into the narrative. And if, but, like, watching the film, I was like, I thought she wasn't in on it.
So, yeah, in the first essay, the woman talks about, like, here's her quote. She says, I recognize the sinking feeling of being betrayed by a white woman who you've stand for, loved, liked, or even simply been mildly okay with. And, like, she puts some examples, like, these are, like, actresses like Tina Fey, Scarlett Johansson, and Emma Stone. She put Rachel Dolezal, like, no one, it's like, most of us found out about her because, like, she betrayed everyone. Like, I never was like, oh, right. Rachel's trusting. But, yeah. Like, she was the leader of the fucking, like, NAACP in her neighborhood. So, like,
I guess,
for, at least for those folks, like, they had that experience. I was, like, thinking for me personally, like, if I had felt that, I don't know. The thing is, like, I'll cut, like, white women, white celebrity women off, like, as soon as they do, like anything.
At that, yeah.
It's, like, I like some things that Tina Fey has done. Scarlett Johansson, like, I don't care. Emma Stone, like, whatever. Like, I'm not a stan for her. And then, like, I don't know. I just feel like in the past few years, like, in after college especially, it's just, like, it's, like, I'm not standing for any white woman. Like, it's not gonna happen. Especially if it's Marnie. It's, like, she's the worst character. Well, everyone on Girls is pretty bad. I'm sure that many people who are familiar with, like, Black American history were seeing, like, an Emmett Till, like, situation of, like, a white woman being responsible for, like, the, like, violence happening to a Black man. And then even recently, like, the woman who accused him, like, was like, I was lying. And it was like, duh.
Yeah.
Like, no one believed you except, like, white people, and that's because, like, you're also white. It was like, so, it was, but that was, like, recently on the TL. Like, people were, she just came out as being a liar. It's like, you're a white woman. We knew that.
Well, I also hate that she's still alive.
Right, yeah, that's crazy. Like, I never thought that I would hear. I didn't know that. Like, I never thought that I would hear anything about her.
No, not either. But, like, it's just an extra layer of disgusting to me that she's still alive.
I guess it wasn't that long ago. Insane. Yeah, so one of the things from Aisha Harris's thing, she goes, Chris joins a long historical line of Black people, both real and fictional, who have had their lives threatened or complicated by white women's lies and or the cultural perception of white womanhood as unflatingly virtuous. And so, of course, she says Emmett Till, Odell Beckham Jr. Is that the, like, Lena Dunham thing where she was like, he thought I was ugly?
It's like, girl, like, first of all, like, SARS, like, it's no, like, one has an obligation to talk to you.
That was just
which
the
I never
thing.
Even understood. Like, that.
It's like every time that she opens her mouth or, like, does anything on the internet, it's just like, please shut the fuck
or
up.
Or did you see, like, that clickbait article of, like, Lena Dunham's giving serious Rihanna vibes?
Well, in her Insta, like, caption, she, like, said something about Rihanna. Like, it wasn't clickbait. Like, she put that in there.
I am dis. It's like, first of all, don't you ever compare yourself to Rihanna.
Ever.
It's like, Rihanna's a humanitarian. You're Lena Dunham. SARS.
So fucking weird. But, yeah, of course, like, Taylor Swift trying to ruin Kanye West, even though it's like, Kanye sucks, but I stand for him against Taylor.
I mean, if it's any Taylor against Kanye, you better believe I'm on Kanye's side.
Exactly. It's like, you're making me go to bat for him.
Well, I obviously, like, I'm a big believer in white womanhood actually being the epitome.
Right. It's like, if you listen to this podcast, you know that.
Which makes me extra mad that I'm still, like, trusting a white person. Even though I'm constantly like, I only have one white girlfriend, right, or she's so my true. Only white friend in general. But now I have to be like, extra diligent about it in praxis, not just in theory. Because it's like, I don't know. Like, I'm really like, there's a cognitive dissonance there. And it has to be stopped. Because white women are constantly going to disappoint you. I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, they will always disappoint you because they're white at the end of the day.
Right. And that's like, even though I said, like, I don't hardcore stand for, like, any white women celebrities anymore, it's just like, all the time you see or hear or read about one doing some fuck shit. I mean, we've had a lot of, like, This Week in White feminist fuckery. It's on this very podcast. Just, like, talking about the ways that... It's not even, like, about being disappointed. It's, like, literally they're showing their true colors. And it's, like, that was in them all along. And, like, now you know about it.
They just know how to hide it better than men, I think.
Right. And then it's just also, like, a thing about, like... femininity and womanhood is like being more trusting, I think, even though like it's like if you're white, I have no reason to trust you just off bat.
That's true.
I feel like there's also less like a gender thing, because I feel like men of color just love to go to bat for white women.
Yeah, no, general? That's definitely a thing. Yeah, and I was thinking about this too, because one of my crushes, Dev Patel, was dating, like, let's just say it, a not cute white woman.
Right. It's like, does she work in tech? Like, what she bring to the table?
But I feel like if you're an actor, like, one of the perks is you get to date beautiful people.
Right.
And it's like, you're also, like, gorge. You know what I mean? It's like, why are you settling? But here's the thing. It's like, I don't know if, like, you knew people like this growing up, but, like, everyone I know who, like, was a POC and dated white women when I was young would literally just date any white woman who showed, like, any sort of, like, interest in them. Like, it didn't matter, like, what it was. Like, as long – if they're Aryan, extra points. You know, like, extra. Like, the amount of, like, Latino men especially that date white women – with, like, blonde hair, blue eyes. And this has actually been commented to me, like, by other people who aren't Latino. They're like, yeah, like, I actually noticed that a lot of them date, like, especially if they're not white. Like, the white ones will date within the race. But, like, if they're not white, they love, like, a blonde hair, blue eyed, because there's so much, like, racism and colorism in Latino communities that, like, oh, like, I hope my baby ends up with blue eyes. Like, or I hope, like, my baby ends up whiter than I do. And it's like, that's disgusting. Right. That's like eugenics, basically, which I've brought up twice in this podcast. A favorite topic of mine, as you can tell. But it's like, that's truly like, you hate yourself so much that you hope that your child's not you. I can't even relate. Sorry. Like, I want my child to be an exact replica of myself.
Right, exactly.
Oh, that's just so, like, or even just, would you hate your kid if they're darker than you? Or, like, that's, I can't even. And they think of white womanhood as a savior in that moment. Which is, I don't know, just another use for white womanhood. In another way that they, like, even unknowingly, which I doubt any white woman is unknowingly, like, practicing whiteness. Because it's them. But they're doing this, like, I don't know, there's an agenda going on, so I don't know, I'm just disgusted.
Right, and then after the movie, like, there were so many, like, Twitter posts, I don't know why I didn't say just tweets, from white girls that were like, LOL, like, can we still date black guys? Or, like, and they were like,
no,
or you can meet my parents or stuff like that. And, like, every woman of color was like, can y'all shut the fuck up? And every man of color was like, yes, Becky. Like, I'm like, this is the ugliest thing I've ever seen. It's like, oh, any sort of thing where, like, white women are, like, fetishizing men of color, it's like,
that's
literally nice. I feel like, just, I'm not, like, against, like, interracial relationships. It's like, of course, like, if Becky's want to date men of color, like, that's fine. But, like, they literally, like, want to bond over, like, hatred of women of color over it.
Yeah.
And men of color also, like, will, like, be like so evil to women of color. So it's like you're literally bonding over Becky with that. And this doesn't really have anything to do with Get Out, I'm sure, but I don't know if it does actually. What was the relationship between Chris and the black maid?
He was just like, I think he was trying to talk to her because she was black and trying to relate to her because he did feel so uncomfortable. It was like, not only was a family white, but it was a white environment. Like, it was mm-hmm. just like white. It would, I feel like, make, I don't know, it was uncomfortable. So he would like try to bond with her. Like, he tried talking to her.
But I guess she was like, also like technically.
Yeah.
Not actually a black woman.
Yeah, because it was, well, there was the one shocking, which I'm sure you've seen the gif of like, no.
Right, I have no idea.
Of her saying that. Well, it was because, yeah, like he was being like, oh, I just get really uncomfortable with like a ton of white women around. And Georgina like was trying to get something out. And you could tell the actress actually played this very well. And then she starts crying because it was like Georgina was trying to come out and be like, yes, like I'm on your side. But like then like the grandma like overpowered and was like, that's when she started saying no, all creepily, because it was the grandma being like, okay, no. And she was like, they treat us like family. Mm. That's what she said after that. Which to me is also reminiscent of like white people being like, they treat their house workers of color and like,
right, I was thinking nannies about that and when stuff I was like family. Notes, yeah. Because I feel like in New York, you see so many like women of color, domestic workers, and like immigrant women of color. And I feel like at my Alma, people were like, oh yeah, like I had a nanny of color. Like she was a part of the family. I loved her. And it's like, okay, like, don't ever tell me things like that. Like, it's like, that was one of your first introductions to a POC of color. It was like being the help. It's like, come on, we all know American slavery happened. Like, I'm not gonna, like, be interested in hearing about that. And then even in the reverse of that is, like, we would have voted for Obama 3 times. It's like, that's performative. Like,
100%.
It's like, I don't want to see any performative white guilt except you reaching into your wallet and giving me money.
Oh, yeah. That's the only way that guilt should be employed. Oh, well, also, I did want to touch on another piece of white feminist fuckery, which was that, like, ScarJo, Alana Glazer film.
Yeah, I didn't even, did you watch the trailer? I just like,
well, I watched the trailer because I was bored at work, and I was like, might as well watch it because everyone on Twitter is talking about it.
So I can be culturally relevant.
Which is just basically like, they tried to get anyone who was trendy, anyone who's anyone, like.
Right, it's like that weird
in the film industry. Yeah. Cast. And they just basically just kill a sex worker. Which is also, I feel like it was, like, fat-phobic, too, because in the trailer, like, the reason why the sex worker is killed is because the, like, slightly chubby friend jumps on him.
What the hell?
I'm like, I didn't know that could kill someone.
What? That sounds very strange.
It was the dumbest thing in the world. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's, like, that same thing of, like, what was that Pitch Perfect?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever watch that?
I did see it, yeah.
Yeah. And she was like her, the like, punchline was like, yeah, I'm fat. Like,
yeah, her whole personality was just like, my body's fat. It's like, okay, that's not funny. So, like, you have anything, any more material? It's like, that's
but just I feel like that's still right like happening in Hollywood. Like, that's like hilarious. But like, that's like, definitely going to be hailed as a feminist icon, like, film.
Really? I only saw people being, like throwing out statistics of, like, sex worker deaths. Like, they were not.
But do you think that's, like, the people that you follow?
Right, that could be in, my liberal bubble. I can... That's what that
yeah. could be. Well, liberals are probably going to love it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I saw, like, Mary Claire, I think. Is that the magazine? Oh,
Marie
Claire.
Marie, yeah.
Yeah. Right, Marie, not Mary. Posted it and they were like, you'll love this new movie where 4 women kill a stripper. Like, that was literally their clickbait like, title. And everyone was like, fuck? What the fuck?
That's like, that's not a good sell. Like, power feminism, like, okay, now women are just like men. They can also kill sex workers.
Yeah.
It's like, that's fucking disgusting.
What? I don't know.
Yeah.
Some that they did have token Zoe Kravitz.
Right.
So it's not totally only white women, huh?
That's true.
It's like, but the moral of the story, yeah, is that's just, like, just another if piece it's of white, life. Don't trust exactly. it. Don't befriend it. Always, like, yeah. take what I mean, they say with yeah. a grain of salt. It's like,
that's true.
Do not think they have your best interest in heart. I don't know. I feel like that's a phrase that I said wrong.
In heart?
Like, I'm sure that many people of color, like, have experienced, like, talking to a white friend about racism and the white friend being like, I didn't ever notice that. And it's like, just don't tell your white friends anything, right, like, of yeah. any importance.
Right.
Like, don't expect any, like, white friend, even your ones who would have voted for Obama 3 times, to, like,
yeah.
understand and empathize with
yeah.
your experience of color, right. because... it's just not. And it's like, and like, I have, like, white best friends. I have, like, white family. It's like, yeah, I have a white friend, and I'm, like, still saying this. Like, this will happen. Don't trust yeah. them.
Well, I also have an anecdote. Is I remember once at our alma, like, I was like, oh, this person's really racist. Like, why are you guys friends with them? It was this, like, group of white people, and they're like, but they're really nice. I was like, what the fuck? They're nice to you, maybe.
Oh, my God.
But that means nothing. What the hell? Can you be really nice and racist then? Like, what? And I never trusted that group since.
Right. SARS. Or even if you're just, like, a white person who is your friend, like, does something racist. Or it's, like, I don't, there's just, like, all this, like, white guilt that you need to, like, then console them. And it's, like, sorry.
Yeah,
like,
no.
You benefit from
yeah.
white supremacy. Like,
consoling white
you.
Guilt is something I'm not about to do anymore, which I did a lot in college, especially, like, my freshman and sophomore year. I was all about doing that. And then it's, like, that's not, like, you, they need to do it themselves. They can probably right, afford yeah. therapy. So they're going to have to go do it themselves.
Also, I feel like at our alma, some people were like, oh, well, like, my family's racist. And it's like...
yeah. Which is like, do you want to gain extra points or what?
It's like, first of all, like, if you're white, then you're... or even non... well, I'm black, so, like, like, non-black people are also mm-hmm. anti-black. So it's like, yeah. Yeah, well, your family's not black, so yeah, of course they're racist. But it's also, like, racism is violence, and, like, it's not like... I was traumatized every single time someone said something like that to me, but, like, racism is traumatic. It's like, why do mm-hmm. I want to hear about your racist grandma? That's not fucking funny to me.
Yeah.
My people are just...
or like, to, like, feel bad for people right, for like, bringing that. It's like, oh, my God, like, my life sucks. Like, my family is anti-black. It's like, well, turns out, like, what do they... you benefit from that. And you're like... you to bring this up, like, I don't know, that's like also violent, like, to not notice the violence in bringing up a sentiment like that. It's like, I don't know, just fucked up. I feel
people are also always saying to me, like, my family would never let me date a black person, like, not people who I even wanted to date, just like friends in quotes. And it's like, that's just the most racist thing. Like, that's like right. peak racist. So that's really weird. But then it's yeah. still like, those are the same white people who are like, oh, I don't want to go home for Thanksgiving and talk about the election with my parents. And it's like, you won't do the bare min?
Yeah, right.
Good to know.
Bare min is telling your mom not to vote for Donald Trump.
Right.
Bare
it's
min.
Like, your family's been racist all this time, and you clearly know that because, like, you're sharing it at a party. Like, it's your funny yeah. story. Yet, you've never done anything about it. It's, like, telling me isn't, like, a step on the, like... it's, like, that does nothing. That absolves you in no way.
Right.
Okay, that's it. We're back. And... that's the end of this. I don't know. I don't remember what we say. Oh, this is episode, I think, 39. Of course, you can follow us on Sad Girls Podcast on Twitter, sadgirlspodcast@gmail.com, and sadgirlspodcast.com. Now saying podcast, like, in a weird way, because I've been talking for too long. That's it, right? We just say bye now?
Yeah, I think, yeah. We've never been big on sign-offs.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening.